like that and put over there and give it to them people.
No. No.
We don't get nothing in return. Same way going to Canada. They got 300 head right there in New Holland Stockyard right now. Feeding them horses.
So what was this, just a way of keeping the prices up on stock or holding the minimum price?
That's the holding the minimum price. Now then they quit and the bottom fell out of them.
I didn't quite get that, Cookie.
What the?
About holding your price.
Well, they was buying them up. The federal government was buying them up and giving them to them foreign countries, shipping them over and giving them to them just to keep the prices up.
Yeah.
All right. Now, something happened. We don't know what happened. But they have quit shipping horses overseas.
Oh.
They have quit shipping them. They haven't shipped none now. Ain't going on 3 weeks.
Oh.
They got 3,000 head in the harbor right now. And they got 300 head in the New Holland Stockyard to go to Canada. Old Charlie's got 300 head bought up there, and he can't ship them because he's got no place. They won't let him across with them.
And that affects you.
That affects me because I can't sell. The only thing I can do is sell to private individuals. And private individuals ain't got no money. Money is tight.
Has he got a place to put 300 horses?
No.
Why, Cookie?
He was shipping them out as fast as he bought them, see?
Yeah.
Well, they just...
Just like that?
Just like that.
He said no.
Closed the door. It happened from Saturday night until Monday morning.
Oh, they took the weekend to do it.
That's right. I don't know what happened. We don't know. It hasn't been uncovered yet.
Well, when you sold horses like that, who did you sell them to? Who bought the horse?
Well, the government had buyers there.
Was it the Department of Agriculture?
No, the federal government. Send them overseas, buy ours for human consumption.
Yeah. They have their own people doing the buying.
Yes, sir, yeah.
They just write you out a check right on the spot?
Yeah, he comes through the stock barn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they auction them off.
Yeah. Sure do. Just like up in Jacksonville, for T.W. Waldrop. He buys killer horses. But he's got a dog meat, I mean, a dog food plant, see? He makes dog food out of it. And he pays 7, 8, and 9 cents a pound for it. Well, I'd go up there and buy put a load of good fat horses, or I could, on Saturday, and be in New Holland, Pennsylvania on Monday morning, and make anywhere from 10 to 15 cents a pound on them, just like that. Sure could. But it took a lot of money to do that.
Yeah.
It cost me $150 to expense money up there.
Yeah.
Expenses up there.
Just to get up there.
Yeah. Plus it cost me, if I bought, I'll say 20,000 pounds. See what it cost me? About 9 cents a pound.
You just have to gamble on that.
That's right. You just gamble on it. 10,000 pound of horse meat cost me $900. Then I had to have expense money.
And you couldn't take a chance on getting caught.
I can't.
With them on your hands.
No. I can't. See, they got a big sale Saturday. I think they're going to put the load in there Monday morning. But I can't gamble on it. No, I'm not gambling. No way.
Well, that's hardly gambling now.
No, it ain't. You just can't do it. I'm not gonna buy none. It's just that simple. I'm not gonna buy none. I'm gonna sell some. I got two I'm gonna sell. But I ain't gonna buy none. I didn't want to sell them, but I got to. Since I bought that wagon, I've got to sell some horses. They're going to bring me some money. Yes, they're going to bring me some money. Because I'm going to get behind them.
Yeah.
I'm going to get behind them.
You're going to sit on the other side of that post.
I'm going to sit beside that post, yes, sir.
Have that post between you and the people and just look at the auctioneer.
Yes, sir.
How does that work?
Well, you get out of sight of the people and get the auctioneer's attention. And you get to run that horse out on over the moon.
All you got to do is stop at the right time.
Stop at the right time.
Sound like cut and stop.
Would you be selling around here, could you? You wouldn't sell them here at an auction. I'd like to go. I'd love to go to a horse auction.
Well, there's going to be one in Jacksonville Saturday.
You don't want to go to a horse auction fair where they're going to buy them for dog meat.
They don't buy them all together for dog meat up there.
I just want to go with cooking.
They don't buy them all together for dog meat up there. As a whole sale, he may buy three or four for dog meat. The rest of them will go to individuals. That's right. They'll go to individuals.
What do you like for dog meat? You like them bony?
It don't make any difference.
You don't care?
He don't care.
He grinds them up?
It's all ground up anyway. But I'm going to be there Saturday morning.
10 o'clock.
I hope to be there before that. I hope to be there in time to do some trading before the sale starts. Because I've got some saddles I want to move on down the road. I got two horses I'm going to sell.
Saturday morning.
Saturday.
What's today?
Today's Thursday.
Friday's Saturday. Well?
Got one in Georgia to pick up. I may go pick him up. No, I can't go see him. That's too much to do.
We might go along with you over there. If we could be of any use.
They keep the mouth closed. That's the main use, isn't it?
Stay out of the way.
And
I'd love to see Cookie. I'd like to get an idea too. You see, I used to have these cows at the market, and I didn't have nerve enough to do this. He can't trade in cows. You know why? Because you got that cattle market. The cattle market's better than he can handle. But it's not that way in horses. That's odd, ain't it?
Cow markets is something, the cattle is something that you can go out here and sell to just about anybody.
No.
But you take a good looking horse and you can just about sell it to somebody that ain't got a bit more use for it than nothing.
Yes.
You get to talk just right.
Yes. And get a good price for it.
And get a good price for it.
Next morning, they wake up and wonder what
in the world
they've got out there.
Yeah. Well, what did I do?
Yeah. but it's got several little things that a horse requires. You know, this little filly's going to be a pest. The way she keeps on, she's already takes an interest in you as soon as she sees you.
Yeah.
Yeah. She comes up and starts looking at you.
Well, I've got to go. I've got about an hour and a half to get home and get squared away and get back to the
coroner's
office.
Well, again, let me tell you, I was counting on you to move this old thing there. I wanted you to have it yourself, and I didn't want much out of it. I just wanted some little push-off thing to keep me going.
Yeah, but you see, I'm going to tell you something. You can't go out and pick him up just every day.
Well, I don't care how long it takes you to pick it up.
But,
well, I mean, I'm just telling you, that's all.
I'll take it. And, but I don't know when I can get you one. I mean, I might get one. Heck, I may find one this evening. You never know. Someone may call me this evening. Tell me they got one. That may be a month.
Well, you see, here's the thing. It's just sitting there, and it ain't improving.
It's depreciating. I mean,
somebody ought to be running it.
It ought to be running every day. It ought to be running. And I'll tell you one thing. It would save my station wagon, that transmission, my station wagon. I know, because her dang will tear it out.
Yeah.
And she'll get them universal joints, just sure as the world.
Yeah. Well.
Because when she won't release her clutch before she gets on her brake and she starts doing like this.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that jerking.
And you know what that means.
Yes, it won't.
The first thing you know, you're going to have to replace your universal joint or maybe a drive shaft.
Yeah.
And a drive shaft costs a $100 bill.
Well, have you got what are you going to do? I've been saving it for you.
Well?
Unless I sort of go along with you, see, you put things off. You see, we got this plow horse and still haven't got anything to plow with, you see. And that's
Now, by gosh, do you find a collar and I'll go get it and hook her up and plow. I can't find one. Now, I've exhausted my efforts. I know where they're at, but I can't drive 850 miles and pick up a car and then come back.
Did you ever ask this booger down here, Jim Nelson?
Jim Nelson?
Yeah.
No.
Let me ask him while we're sitting here.
I'll call him and ask him.
Oh, I wrote his number.
You wrote it
I'm
down.
I'm going to go, too. I'm going to take it on up and get an inspection.
Oh, you think you can?
Inspection,
you
know.
You think
well,
you
can
fix it?
Yeah, I
would make
it better, sure. Well, I've got to still have a game razor blade.
You have to go down to get a razor blade.
You wrote that down on a bulletin, guy.
You better get that tooth fixed.
I need to go to Ocala.
Horse Motel.
You know, you can't get information on Cali. It's just like going to New York and buying. I'll find out. I have got the energy. Let it go. Let's go ahead and see what I'm going to do.
You got the carpet and your plumber out there?
Something different.
So they just got on something different.
Oh, What is that about your medicine, Miss Eastman? You can't take what you got?
My wife can't take what she's got. She's got to take something different.
Oh.
So.
So he called in at the drugstore over there, and they put me up $16.96 worth.
Yeah, of new stuff.
Yeah, new stuff. So.
Yeah. Down here at Wilson's?
No, I got it over there at the Williston.
Oh, you already got it?
Yeah, I got it over there at Williston, at that drugstore over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the doctor called the drugstore. See, and that just about made you get it over there. You didn't have a prescription to get it somewhere else.
Well, you can't run over there and have it refilled.
Yeah. But that fella, that's the doctor over there, he's an Indian, right from India.
Yeah.
Boy, do they like him over there.
Oh, you think a great deal of him.
Oh, God, over there to Williston, there. They're crazy over him over there.
Yeah. Can you understand what he says?
Well, that's the trouble of it. You have a hard time understanding what he says. But.
Yeah. Well.
Well.
Did Ms. Eastman, did she enjoy her visit over there?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, down to Ocala, when I was in the hospital down there, they wouldn't take your Medicare papers. You'd got to pay them, and then you got to send in to Medicare to get your money.
Yeah.
Well, over here, we took them over the Medicare papers and insurance papers from the AARP. And I had an idea that, Jesus, I'd have to pay them over there $500 or $600,
uh-huh.
You know, for where they was x-raying her and one thing and another. By Jesus, you know, they wouldn't take a nickel. They said to wait and see what the insurance company had done.
Uh-huh.
Oh, is that right?
And they said they'd bill me later. But they thought that AARP insurance would take care of it.
What do you know?
Well, that's good news.
Well, you were expecting the worst.
Yeah, I was expecting I'd have to pay them $500 or $600 over there today.
Yeah. All that room rent?
Yeah, but you know, and all the x-ray and one thing and another. And then I reckoned that I'd have to send the papers in, see, to the insurance company there to get a rebate on it. But they're taking care of it over there.
Yeah.
That's
down,
the way it ought to be.
Down to Ocala, guys, you have to take care of it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they want their money right off quick.
Yeah. Well, I never went to the hospital in Ocala. I had understood they had some pretty good doctors and all down there.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know
yeah,
you.
Yeah, but Jesus, they wife it to you. Now, when I was down there, geez, there were four or five different doctors sent me bills.
The
four or five doctors sent me bills, and hell, they just come to the door and peeked in and said, "How are you feeling this morning?" And that's all it was to that. And they turned around and sent me bills for $50, $60.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, goodness. Goodness.
I went to the hospital about it, and they said, "Why, Dr. So-and-so looked at your x-rays, and this other doctor, he done something else, and did it $50, $60. God damn, they soaked you.
I didn't know you'd been to the hospital down there.
You didn't? Uh-huh. Hell, I was down there twice.
That was several years ago.
Yeah, 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah, they took me down there at 6 o'clock in the morning. I had that awful pain in here, you know, and Jesus, I didn't sleep all night. I just had to walk the floor. I couldn't even sit down.
Yeah.
And they took me down there, and Jesus, the first doctor looked at me there, and they took a blood test, and they said my blood was rotten, and that the first doctor thought that I was had up with cancer and just ready to die.
Oh, that's good
and
news.
Said, you might just well send him home, and we can't do nothing for him. Well, then he says, while you got him here, you better get some x-rays of him. So, Jesus, they sent me down to the x-ray room, and I was down there quite a few minutes, and she was getting some different x-rays of me, and one thing, another, and finally, she wanted me to turn over different, see, and get around a little bit different. And she's a hell of a big boned woman, big woman, muscular, you know. Jesus, she grabbed a hold of me, you know, to give me a turn, and she hit that spot. And by Jesus, I just passed out, see, and boy, she gave me a slap on the butt, you could hear it ring, you know. And she said, don't you pass out on me here. Well, I said, you hit that spot right there, I said, and I was done. She said, right where, and I showed her. Jesus, she went out of that room like a flash, and she was gone. About 15, 20 minutes. She come back with two other doctors. And they said, where is this sore spot? And I showed him right there, and when I touched it, you know, Jesus, I pretty near passed out. Well, he said, what about this spot right here? And he touched me on the back in another spot, and by God, I went all limp again. Hi, he says, we know what's the matter with you. He says, your gallbladder's gone bad. He said, take him, put him upstairs to bed, he says, and we'll doctor him up. So Jesus, they put me upstairs to bed there, and Jesus, and they give me a lot of different shots, and put me to sleep. And when I woke up, I felt a little better. And this first doctor come in there, and he said, well, I'm going to tell you. He said, your blood is so rotten, he said, we can't operate on you now. He said, if we put you on the operating table, he said, you'd die on us. He said, we've got to get you around, and it'll take about 6 weeks for us to get your blood straightened around, he said, so they can operate and take that gallbladder out. So, Jesus, I thought it was funny. Yeah, then they kept me there. 2 weeks, and I got feeling pretty good, and I got home, and another 2 weeks, I was feeling pretty good. I got back to work, and working pretty good, and by Jesus, I had to go back down and have them operate and take a gallbladder out. And you know, your gallbladder is supposed to be about as big as your thumb.
Yeah.
And they said that my gallbladder was bigger than your hand, and the edges of it was all curled up on there. Just like the lace curtains, you know how the ruffles on a lace curtain? That's the way the doctor said. And he said that the edges of it, he said, looked as though it was all dying, all dead-like. And they had a hell of a time skinning that off of my liver.
So you was in bad shape.
Yeah, and I was down there, Jesus, after they operated on me for 2-3 days after that, I didn't care whether I lived or died. You know, you get like that.
You mean you was sort of groggy?
I was bad. Well, I got around on my feet after that, and Jesus, I've done a lot of hard work since.
Yeah.
You sure have. Been crawling under our house.
Yeah. Well, I thought what you was going to say was that when you come home and got on your feet again, you just kiss them goodbye and didn't go back again.
I had a heck of a time. It was quite a little while before I got straightened around with Medicare, you know, and then there were some things that they wouldn't pay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
They're supposed to pay 80%, but some of the stuff they paid 80% on, and some of it they didn't pay anything.
Is that right?
some that
you
I...
You better get your stuff
paid. I figured that they should pay, but they didn't.
You want to take Miss Ethan with you.
Yeah.
Sean,
yeah.
And you can see what you want. You better
okay.
go that way.
Oh. All right.
Faye going to get you to go with him.
I tell you what, you can get in your truck and you can meet me right down there where those lilies are.
Yeah.
Okay, you just stop.
Now this is Channel One Right, and the end of a little short session, ladies, on Thursday, the 18th of July, 74. A little short session, around 300, I'd say, on Thursday, the 18th of September, 74. The little short session of Mr. Eastman in the kitchen this after Cookie leaves this Thursday, the 18th of July, 74. Now this is Channel One, 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 I just want to see if it's working.
was the 16th. There, 4 hours labor on this pump valve of the house there, where we changed the pipe and put the gate valve in on that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the next day on the new pump, that had 8 hours on a new pump installation. Well, then yesterday there were 2 hours up there on that and a sack of concrete, sack rate. Well, then now, here's these here. You see, I paid John, because I paid him for all these pipe fittings I got and that extra piece of pipe.
That's a mistake.
See, now this is what you got. See, there's four three-quarter close nipples up there with the pump to hook the pump to the tank and the two elbows. Well, then there were three of them 1x3/4 reducers and the two galvanized unions out here on the pipe and the 1 3/4 45. See, well, then I was up here this morning there for about an hour. Well, then I got the Berkeley pump, half horsepower pump was $110, and the control was $19.45. Well, then the tax on the stuff there was $7.68. Well, then they charge you 84 feet as a 3/4 inch galvanized pipe. And all the bills that I've made out in my lifetime, I don't ever remember one coming out even money. You see,
yeah.
here's what I paid John down there, $202.25.
Hmm. Where is that one, where we sold that pipe and two out there, Mr. Eastman, that union with the rubber in it, which one is that? Well, we put on the pump, don't you know, when we...
The union with the rubber in it.
Don't you know when we pull the pump up?
Oh! Say, Jesus Christ. I forgot all about that damn union and Jesus and old John. He's got a charge to me down there somewhere.
I didn't see it yet. The reason I
He didn't have it on this here.
You brought that up all by itself. That
yeah.
That one morning. That morning.
Yeah.
That's all you had.
Yeah.
I had a feeling that was right costly. It was.
They are.
With that rubber in them.
He's got another damn slip down there somewhere. That Japanese girl didn't find. See, that's that Japanese girl's writing on here.
Oh, yeah. Well, she'll find it.
See, she had this on down here, but she didn't have the pump. See?
Uh-huh.
See, she had 105 feet of the galvanized pipe at $50.40. Well, you see, here I got 84 feet is $40.32.
Yeah.
Well, so then John, he writes on here, pump 110 and the tax is 440, makes $114.40 on top of what she had, made it
$202.25. Yeah. Well, we'll find out. We'll have some more stuff anyhow, won't we?
Jesus, I never thought about that.
Mr. Eastman, I can't pay you.
Yeah?
I come off and left my bag down at your house.
Huh? You left what?
My bag down at your house.
You did?
I walked off just big as you please, you know. I was prisoner
Jesus,
around there.
I didn't know it.
Looking at everything, and all my stuff is in there.
Well, Jesus, you better come down and get your bag, because you might be something in there that you'd want.
Yes, I know it.
God, I never noticed it.
I guess it was left it sitting right there on that little table. Or maybe I just stuck it down. It's not in the car. I didn't take it back out. I know. I just left it.
Huh?
I do that all the time. time, all the time.
Well, I never thought of that.
Well, I didn't telephone you because I thought, well, I don't know what I thought. I thought you'd be up here, you see, and would see it. I guess I figured you'd see it.
I never noticed it.
You just had too many people coming and going down there.
Yeah. Dad, you better come down and get it before somebody does see it down there and run off with it.
Well, just put it inside. It's down there. Let me tell you, Mr. Eastman, I didn't see in your bill when you was working on this electricity, I didn't see, you know, that breaker box that you used down yonder. I never saw that listed. You had a 30 amp breaker box or something down there.
Yeah.
30, wasn't it? Or was it 60? 60.
60 amps, I think.
Yeah.
That wasn't on there?
I didn't see it.
Got rather cheating myself, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Well, I'll look and see. I'll go down and look at that damn box to refresh my memory.
Find anything?
Well, when I get home, I'll look and see about your satchel down here, and I'll go and look on the book and see about that there, and see what I'll kind of quiz my mind about that a little bit. I don't know, but what I took the two old boxes that was out here in the place of that.
You did, but I didn't charge you for them old ones.
I think maybe that's what they was to it. I'll check on it and see. I don't want to cheat you and myself either.
Now that's the end of that short session on Thursday afternoon. On Thursday afternoon, the 18th of July, 1974, and now we start in on the evening session after supper, the 19th of July, 1974. Now we're starting in on the evening session on July, 1974.
For some reason, I don't know what.
Oh?
So, I come right at the box the first thing and checked on that. And That was
a tumble. I generally carry these in that thing, too.
Oh.
That makes it a little heavy.
They wasn't in there.
They're on the heating surface.
Hey.
Come on, man. Sit down.
He left his bag down there to my place.
Yeah, and it's got... a bank account in there, you see. Did you get that other stuff straightened out, Mr. Eastman?
I didn't have no.
You didn't find out.
I didn't have any charge for any for that box out there, but we let that go. I guess that other.
Well, you see, you come up short. You see, that would be about You're underpaid, you see. If you that
well,
you are
a box like that cost $10.
Yeah.
But I didn't have that down.
Yeah. Well, you better put it down.
Right. Would you have any small tea bags?
Yeah.
If I have one, I'm starting to bleed here, and I recommend doing all one of those.
Let me see.
Hello.
I'm sure you're there.
stick it in your mouth. I'll be right there.
Be like the preacher down there at the Trade Winds.
Yeah.
Where'd Faye go? He said, Arne, he says, you know, he says, I gotta start in working with you, he says, so that I can keep things going here.
What happened this evening? What is that? I missed that.
Down there they had, well, they used to have three phase electric stoves in the kitchen.
Oh, yes.
Well, they took and throwed them out when this new outfit there bought it. They throwed them out and put in a gas stove.
Yeah.
Well, they did have a big gas stove in there, but they put this other gas stove back to back up to it.
Yeah.
They throwed them three phase stoves out. Well, they've got these deep fryers, two of them, and they always took off in that same line down underneath the floor. There was a box down there, and they took off in that and run to them deep fryers. See, you take off and you get two of the three wires down there and get 220 out of it, see, so to run them deep fryers. When they throwed them stoves out, they discontinued that three-phase outfit down under that. They cut the wires off in the box and taped them up there. Well, then they run another line down under there, a small line. That other had three number six wires to it. Well, now they run another line down under there with a number 10 wire to it, and hooked on up in the box there, see? And that was new to me. I didn't know anything about that. But I went in, and the first thing I do is pull the plug on them deep fryers, you know, when I test them out, and test the box in there where the things plug in, and see whether I get any juice before I go monkeying with the deep fryers. Indeed, I wasn't getting any juice. So I got in out there in the electric cabinet place and I found these wires cut off. Well, then I didn't know what the heck to do. And I went checking over there, and up on another line up there, I saw a fuse blowed. So I go and get a 30-amp fuse and sticks into it. And I went back in the kitchen and put my test light in there, and Jesus, I had juice. So then I plugged in the deep fryer, and the preacher hollered, "Glory be!" He said, "You got it." He says, you know, Art, he says, I've got to start in working with you. He says, so that I can do some of this stuff around here. I says to him, when I see that them three-phase wires was cut off, I said, well, Jesus, what's this new stove you got in here? Is that a three-phase stove or just a 220? I don't know one thing about it, he says. And I went in there and looked, and the guy was a gas stove. It wasn't electric at all.
Well, they just don't know what's going on themselves.
Jesus, they don't know nothing down there.
Well, I wonder, I'm surprised that they hadn't called you in before now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I get called over there every little while.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I thought they were down on you.
Oh, Jesus, they come back, boy. They've been calling me a lot lately.
Have they? Well, they were right independent there to start with.
Yeah, yeah. I got an idea that it's Eddie Seiler probably that cut them wires off there, because he was down there working, and
yeah.
He's one of them fellas there that thinks he knows a plenty.
Yeah. Oh, he's the merchant up there on the hill.
Yeah, he runs that grocery store up there.
Yeah.
Got all those wasp nests, huh? Mm. Yellow jacket nests? What's the guy?
I didn't get you.
Is he the fellow that has all those yellow jacket nests?
Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't heard about that.
Well, I haven't been in to see him, but he's advertising that he's got yellow jacket nests in there.
He's got one that's on a board there that's as big as that table. And that yellow jacket's nest is
that's one of them,
3 feet in diameter.
That's one of them paper ones, isn't it?
Yeah. He's got a whole bunch of them.
Oh, but no yellow jackets.
No, just the nest.
Well, I've got a nest out here with the yellow jackets. Did you see that? You saw that?
I think so.
Did you see that,
Mr.? I think so.
Out there, way up the corner?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they're in business.
I was over to John Palmer's store, or place over there at Anthony, painting on the house. And right up under the cornice, there was one of them, there was one of them paper ones there, about that big around, you know, and pointed. Well, then right side of it, they had a bunch of honeycomb there that was about that shape. That, you know how they make that honeycomb stuff in there, and they was working on it. And boy, I'll bet you that they were 500 or 600 of them wasps on it. Gee, they were just covered with them.
Oh. You don't mean wasps.
So I went up to Baskin's store and I asked them up there what they had in there for spray that'd get them. She says, I think I got just what you want. So I don't know, it cost me $1.44 for a can of it. Well, I went down there and I took that spray, and same as here is up there, and I come right down around like that, and I just kept going right around like that, see, and coming a little bit closer to it, and coming right around, and you see, that was all that fog, and them hornets couldn't get out.
Yeah.
And by Jesus, I killed just about every one of them where the ground was covered with them down there.
Why, I protect these, Mr. Eastman.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well,
I want to keep them.
You do?
Yes.
Why, what do they do?
Well, if I get up there too close, they'll smack me.
Yeah.
And they did.
They got me once, you know.
Did they?
Oh, they got me 3 times, right on the head and on the nose.
Jesus, when I was a young lad, my father and I had grass fries, you know, we were mowing on the side of the road, and one of them bastards got down my shirt down in here, And he stung me in 9 different places before
yeah.
I could get him out of there.
Yeah.
And you know, I swelled right up just like that. Yeah. Boy, did I swell up.
Yeah. Let me tell you, you don't remember those little bees that started out down there at that shed. They would come up to you, you know, like they're going to just knock the fire out of you.
Yeah.
But they never did sting. They look like bumblebees. I don't know whether they could sting or not.
Oh, I know what they are. They're wood. They make holes in the wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I like to have them around. And you know what happened to them? That big woodpecker, that big one.
Yeah.
That big pileated.
They'll get them.
Oh, they get them.
Almost got the shed along with it.
Yeah. Yeah. He digs them out of the rafter.
Yeah.
Ain't that awful? I got great big holes there in my rafter.
I had one down home, and I whittled a wooden plug and drove in that hole. And you know, I went back in 2-3 days, and that damn thing had ate that plug right out of there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's more like it, yeah. You see, you got to let the wild thing.
So this carking compound is?
Sure.
I took one of them carking guns with a new tube of it, and by geez, boy, I pushed it in there, and I put the juice right to it.
Yeah.
And God, he didn't come back anymore.
Well, let me tell you, I've got a varmint that comes out here and gets his, he climbs, when I go to bed at night, just as soon as it gets a little dark, I hear him climbing that fig tree. He don't hurt anything.
What are they, flying squirrels?
Oh, he must be an opossum.
Oh.
I don't know what it could be besides an opossum.
He climbs what?
The fig tree.
Oh, the fig tree.
Yeah. He climbs up that fig tree. See, the figs is right now.
Oh. It probably is a possum then.
Yeah.
Possum or a coon.
Well, it could be a coon, yeah. The coon's around here. Skunk don't climb, does he?
No.
I got a skunk, too.
He has?
Uh-huh. He's pure black, with just a little white on his head.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He's been around here a year or two.
Yeah.
I used to have a number of them. And we'd sleep down here, and sometime during the night, you know, you'd get that fresh odor. And I always wondered what it was that stimulated them. I haven't got any dogs. They must have scuffled amongst themselves. You don't reckon they do that?
I had a brand new car one time. I started for home. I hadn't had it in about a week. I got on this, it was a dirt road by our place at that time. It's a damn nice concrete road there now. But up there, and I see all of that dust going up, and I couldn't figure what the devil it was. I got almost up to it, and geez, it was an old skunk and a whole bunch of little ones going right up in there. And they was kind of hustling along in there, you know, making little dust.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, I stopped that car, and I give them all the time in the world to get out of the road.
Yeah. Well,
I like to
like
see
that.
And a lot of little ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
Did you ever see a drove of rats?
No, and I don't want to.
Jesus, I was going down the road one time up home, right along pretty near in that same place. And I see all that dust down the road there, and I thought maybe that was some skunks in the road, see? And I slowed up a little bit, and then all at once, out from the side, I see them rats running. Well, I knew the rats and the skunks wouldn't be together, so I stepped right on it, and I went right straight through the middle of them, and I never killed a rat. And geez, I'll bet there were 500 of them.
Mr. Eastman, I never heard of anything like that.
Jesus, they go right in droves like that.
I'll send the frogs
Jesus, they will.
On the highway down here.
They'll go just like that, and they get into a wheat field or oat field or something like that, and then they'll stay for a while. But in that, and then sometimes, now this rats that I run through there like that, down the road there, about a quarter of a mile, there was a house in the barn. A fellow lived there, and run along 2-3 days after that, and I was talking to him, and he started about seeing all them rats down there. Well, I said, "Did they stop and see you, Henry?" Did they stop? Geezer, he says, they stayed there a couple of days and I couldn't get rid of them. He says, I shot some of them with a gun, he says, and he says there were 2 or 3 there that were probably 4 or 5 generations old, he says. The old big fellows, he shot the old ones, he said, them big ones. Well, I said, them little ones would grow to be big ones by and by. Well, but he's getting the big ones first.
I didn't know that. I didn't know they traveled in groves like that.
Yeah. Well, I saw a bunch of them once in a horse barn. Just like that. There wasn't so many of them, but they were, probably 50, 60 of them.
Well, they got protection in the barn.
No, we started after them with shovels and pitchforks and everything else. And we didn't get very many of them.
Yeah, they got to the hole.
And one time, up there where they fill the silos with insulage, when you open up the silo, there's some on the top that's spoiled, and you got to throw that out before you get to the good insulage. Well, I was going to open up the silo there, and I got up in the top, and I started throwing out. And, geez, the rats began to run. So I took and closed up the doggone doors up, so they was up about 6 feet high, because I had one of them insulage forks, they're about that wide, with about a dozen tines in them, or, I guess it's more than a dozen tines. But anyway, I started throwing that stuff up in a pile and uncovering some there, And the rats begin to run, well, I begin whaling them. And when I got done, I had 22 that I killed up in there.
You made a haul that time, didn't you? Well, Mr.
That they was right in the top of that insulate there, and there's a lot of corn in it.
Mr. Eastman, around here, we're not bothered with rats and mice anymore. You see, the pest control comes along and got that little spray everywhere, and I never see a rat.
Well, I haven't seen any down here. Once I have seen 2 or 3 mice, but I've never seen a rat. Now, they tell me that over in the dump, there's a lot of them over in there, but I've never seen any over in there.
Well, I guess the pest control don't go over to that dump.
No. And you take the McIntosh dump over here, they closed that, because Buddy Huff claimed that they was in there shooting rats and that the shells was coming over in his orange grove. And he put up a howl, and the county closed it.
Well, I wonder why they closed that. That looked like a good place.
Yeah, well, that's the reason they closed it, because Buddy Huff put up a howl because they was shooting rats up in there.
Yeah. Well, they don't need to shoot them. They could just spray.
Yeah.
That spray will do it now. Let me tell you, I saw this fellow that lives across the road down here. Isael is his name. This morning, they're carpentering over there. And he had some watermelons, and he wanted me to get 1 or 2 of them. And he put his watermelons, he didn't put them across the road there this time. He put them down there in Mr. Thrasher's field, a little ways down there. And he said the coons just went down on them this year. He said they must have got a couple of thousand melons. He said in the back of it, the whole, all around it, he said they're just solid.
Yeah.
And he put out a little poison, but the poison seemed to agree with him. Oh, there's enough coons, you know, to carry it on. Well, we had melons back here that year, you know. Bill Wynn did. And they put out poison. They put out that stuff in the...
Arsenic
in the egg, you know. And then he'd try to remember where he put the egg. And the coons would eat them. But you know, that whole time, I never found but one carcass.
Yeah?
Just one.
Well, sir, Henry Burry and another fellow down there next to the lake, down beyond where Wynn's store used to be, they had gardens down in there, they called them, you know, and they had quite a lot of sweet corn.
Yeah.
The sweet corn got just about ready to eat. And boy, I'm telling you, that they didn't get a quarter of it.
Oh, really?
The coons would get in there and...
Oh, the coons?
Yeah. So they goes and puts a couple electric fences up, you know, with the wire.
Yeah.
The two wires, one down about that high and another one about like that, see,
yeah.
So that the
yeah.
coons couldn't get through there. Well, Henry Burry's got a mongrel dog there. I guess he's part beagle.
Yeah.
He's got a tail that goes up over like that and curls around a couple times over his back.
Yeah.
Well, that dog got tangled up in that electric fence. And they said that dog runs so fast that his tail was right out straight. They said that's the first time they ever see that dog with his tail out straight.
Yeah. I've seen a dog on electric fence, Mr. Eastman, and he just scared to death. Well, he was a big, young dog, and he, there was a little wire on top of a very low fence, and you know how they do a lot of times, puts his feet here and just sort of slide over it. Well, he slid there and it got him right in the middle, you see, and he just stuck on it, and you know, it just enough there to pepper him. And you know that dog, you could hear him for half a mile, and he run up to the house and got under the house, and he wouldn't come out for a week. He wouldn't come out to eat. No, you wouldn't think a dog would care.
I used to put up a lot of electric fences for the farmers around there. I put one up for pigs one time and had to wire up about like that. And
about
a fella had a horse that was sick. Just about dead, you know, and he was in there and had his head down. And his father-in-law says, Frankie, you better show that horse where that electric fence is before he gets tangled up in it. So Frankie goes out there and he gets the horse with a halter, you know, and the horse had his head down like that. So he pulled him over there. He put his head down, nose down on that wire. And it was just about that time the juice come on. Jesus, that horse reared right up on his hind feet, and he swung right straight around. And Frankie hung out of his halter, and here goes Frankie right straight around, hanging on that damn halter right out straight. And Frankie's father-in-law, and he says, "By God, Frankie," says, "that horse ain't as near dead as you thought he was." You'd have seen that horse roar right up.
Yeah.
Swing right straight around.
Hitting him on the nose with something.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, Mr. Eastman, I have seen cows that they learned by electric fence, and wherever the fence was, they wouldn't even go across there after the fence was down.
Yeah.
Well, my cows weren't like that. They got acquainted with that fence.
I had a fellow one time had a cow that was always getting out, and he had put a steel poke on her. And you know them steel pokes, when they
yeah.
go along, it drags on the ground like
yeah.
that. Well, this fellow kept telling me, he said, "Geez, he'd like to see that old black bastard," he said, "get up there and get into that fence." Well, geez, it went along a few minutes, and she got up there and she started. Boy, she hit into that fence, and you could see the firefly
Yeah.
And talk about a cow bellerin'.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you that she went backwards for about 500 feet, right straight backwards.
Just kept going on.
Just kept right on a going and blowing out. She was really bellerin'. And they said that you never used that cow up there within 25, 30 feet of that fence.
That iron pokes on it.
Yeah.
Boy, how the fire flew out of that when she hit that against that fence.
And you wouldn't think it'd ever get to the point where you can't buy one in the store, and you can't find one in the country anymore. You can't find one.
Did you ever try to get through one of them electric fences and have it come on?
Oh, I jumped a little bit.
I fell to one time and I didn't feel nothing, and I waited a minute and I fell to it again and I didn't feel nothing. I started to crawl through. There was a wire up here and one down there. Jesus, I just nicely got started through there, and say the next 20 feet went cooking blazes. Jesus, that throwed me through there for about 20 feet.
Oh, you had one of them that went on and off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's the kind that I always put up in one of them. That alternators.
Did you ever get into the wet grass, you know, and the grass is up pretty tall, and early in the morning you walk through that wet grass and it'll conduct that electricity just, you know, 3 or 4 feet away from the fence.
Yeah.
Mr. Eastman, I tell you what I wish you'd do. I didn't get that straight this morning, and I can't tell it. About that trailer situation down there.
About that what?
That trailer situation. They're 100 foot from you.
Oh. Well, she wants to move the trailer over there off of Ma Jackson over onto her land.
Now who was it owned it?
Tony Ketcher.
Tony Ketcher had it.
Yeah.
And he had it on this these people's property.
Yeah, he had it on this other woman's property there, and all he had to do was keep the lawn mowed and keep it cleaned up around there for his rent.
For his rent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now he died.
Yeah.
And he left everything to this widow woman that lives over by the lake. And she turned around and sold it to that other woman there, Boyle's her name is.
Yeah.
So she's been to the zoning board, wants to get her place rezoned so she could pull that trailer on there.
Well, all she got to do is just move it a few
feet. Well, she got to move it. Well, I don't know just where she's figuring on setting it, but her house is probably 500 or 600 feet, see, from where this trailer sets.
Is it? Yeah.
Well, now I take it that she figures on putting it up there by her house and tapping into her septic tank and just running a line from the electric line from the house out there to it.
Yeah.
Well, geez, according to the county zoning, you can't do that. They've got to go to work and put a new septic tank in, because you can't have only one dwelling on a septic tank.
Yeah.
And the same way with the electric line there. She'll have to put an electric line in for that trailer.
Yeah. And between them, it'll cost her a little bit.
Yeah.
And she ain't figured on that.
I don't think so.
Well, that land in there got all mixed up, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, then on the upper side of it there, Bill Gloss owned a lot up in there, and it was that he bought the land off of Ma Jackson, see, and that's the place that this trailer sets on. Well, where he bought the land up there, he bought, I think it was 100 feet that he bought, see. Well, then this was a trailer with a cabana on it. sets about halfway in between that 100 feet in there, see? Well, then up back there, the fence come over the back of Boyle's land. Well, then it ducked down 35 feet and then come across Gloss's there, see? And along over to where Opal Kafalt lives. Well, when Opal sold that trailer court, well, they surveyed that land up through there, see?
Oh, yeah.
Well, then they claimed that that fence was wrong. That fence, that line fence, should go straight through there, see? And take off that 35 feet. So that this land that Gloss bought, his deed called for that fence up there, down there, 100 feet. Well, now they claim that they got to set that back up, that 35 feet, and take this fence down here and bring this up 35 feet. Well, this Boyles, in the meantime, got the preacher to buy the Gloss's place. Then he turns around and turns it over to Boyles. See, well, that made Gloss madder than the blazes, but that didn't enter into this here. But now Boyles, he goes and takes this fence back here and puts it up there, that 35 feet.
Oh, yeah.
See? Well, then, he died. Boyles died. Well, now this widow down here claims that 35 feet in there is hers because she bought it off from the preacher.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Well, now there's going to be trouble over that.
Yeah.
Because she's getting 135 feet instead of just 100 feet.
Well, I know of a case like that over in Mecanobie. I can't tell it the way you do, but I could show it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. This fella had some operates heavy equipment, and he's a Jim Dandy. And when he comes home, he likes to look around over his possessions. Well, they somehow or other got a survey made of it, and they found that there was supposed to be a little alley back of the main street over there. Those principal buildings over there. There's supposed to be a little alley. Well, sir, the survey showed that alley stopped short, and this fella owned one end of that alley.
Yeah.
Well, say it was 10 feet, 15 feet. What'd he do? He put a chain link fence up there. He wasn't going to have any trespassing, even much less the garbage truck going through there. So, but he done it just for spite.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't want the land. He just wanted to show them that he was a big, brawny fella. Miss Eastman, do you think that diagnosis that Ms. Eastman got, do you think that's going to help her?
I hope so. Boy, she won't eat one damn thing unless it's on that chart to what she can have.
I mean, she takes that seriously.
And she's always been used to eating them steaks, you know, they're about that big around.
Yeah.
Now they've cut her down to about that size.
About your size.
Boy, she's having a heck of a time over that.
Well, Miss Eastman works all day, you see, and eats a little steak like that. Well, Miss Eastman works too.
Uh-huh.
Except she don't get under the house like you do. She's doing around there all the time, but she just got a good appetite.
What did they discover was wrong with her?
Eh?
What did they think was wrong with her?
Well, she's got a hernia in her stomach. And that hernia there is pushing her stomach up against her heart. See, and it made her heart go bad. And now they're giving her this diet to see if they can't reduce her stomach down so they won't push on her heart.
Yeah. Well, it'll reduce it, won't it?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Eastman, let me tell you. Now, you don't want to be a sadist or anything, or vengeful about this, but that's going to save you money in the long run.
Take that big, right expensive.
Well, she ain't supposed to eat only one slice of bread a day. Well, she had a slice of bread at noon. So tonight she wanted a poached egg. Well, I said, you want a slice of toast with it? Oh, she couldn't have a slice of bread tonight because she had one for dinner. So I said, well, how are you going to eat it? Well, she says, you put a little of that total, that's a breakfast cereal, in the bowl, as she says, and then you poach the egg and put it on that, and she'll eat that.
Did it work? Did it work?
Yeah, she. That's what she had for her supper.
Yeah. A poached egg on cereal.
Yeah, poached egg on the cereal.
Yes.
I never heard of that before.
What day of the month is it?
19.
You know, I bought a little piece of property one time that had a chunk taken out of it and sold off to build one of these power transformers on. And the old woman that had deeded out that little parcel to build the transformer set on, she was scared to death of electricity. And she didn't even have any in her house then. She had lanterns in the place. And she put a restriction in her deed so that if ever an electric line ran across her property from that transformer site, that the property would revert to her. I'd never seen anything like that. So anyway, I had planned to buy this piece of ground from the power company because they'd torn the transformer site down years ago and there was nothing but a big slab there now. And my property wrapped right around it in an L shape like this. Well, one day I came back off a business trip to California and I'd been gone for about 2 weeks. And this building contractor had bought that little slab of ground thinking it was a whole lot. Well, he had a foundation up. He had the floor down and was starting up with the walls when I got home. And I went over there, you know, and I looked at the thing. You know, how much do you think that house is going to be worth from the kitchen on back? And he said, what are you talking about? And I said, well, how much do you think that house is going to be worth from the kitchen wall back to the back end of it? And I went, what the heck are you talking about? And I said, you know, you're building that thing on my ground from the kitchen on back. Oh my God, so he ran to the phone and called the broker up, and sure enough, they hadn't measured it. They hadn't had a survey on it or anything else, and he only owned from the kitchen forward now. So he just abandoned it. He left it sitting there. He had the two walls framed, the floor all down, the decking, all plumbed in.
That's the use.
Hello?
Yes. Yes, Helen. Fine. Yeah. Take it up now.
Enjoy yourself. Let me tell you. Do you know... Bill says he doesn't feel able to go any place tonight. Yeah.
You know, Miss Eastman,
yeah.
You see that long line there?
Yeah.
Now that's unusual. You know how I got that? Well, sir, for 10 years I had this phone, and I was on an 8-party line. And either somebody's telephone was off the hook, or the line was out of whack or something. And I was talking to him out there when he was putting in this new telephone. And I told him that I thought that I was the most abused telephone user in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
So he come in here and just fixed up everything he could just to suit me. He moved the phone and he gave me that long line. Oh, I tell you, 8-party line. I was on for 10 years. 8-party line. You know, it's easier to get out on an 8-party line than it is to get in.
Yeah. Well,
you can just pick up the phone and tell whether or not it's busy, but if you're calling in, you see, you've got to do all that dialing.
Yeah. That's a good thing to remind you about.
Now that's just what you got on here.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not the other stuff that we're
That's okay.
That we're working on. That little skunk is cute. I see him every now and then.
Yeah?
Uh-huh. He's not quite as friendly as a dog, but he never runs off.
God, we had one. You see, before I was married, maybe five or six years before I was married, my father-in-law had a skunk pen, and he used to raise them. And
oh,
they
really?
They dug a ditch around about 6 feet deep. See, and filled it all full of stone, so the skunk couldn't dig through it, see. Well, then they put this fence up around the outside and cemented the bottom of it around there so the skunk couldn't get out. And he had about 100 skunks in there. And geez, one night, I don't know, just a couple of nights before the skunk season opened up, by geez, they disappeared. Somebody got in there and killed them all, see, and took them. Well, there was an old fur buyer claimed that he bought them fur off of a certain fella, but they just couldn't prove it. But this fur buyer claimed that he could tell that fur on those skunks that had been penned up was different from the skunks right out in the wild.
So?
But they never amounted to anything. And Jesus, my wife, when she was a girl there, they used to go in there and play with them skunks.
Yeah.
You take a whip and drag it around, and them skunks would play with that just like a kitten.
Yeah.
Well, after we was married, there was a little skunk. I see him running around out there, and I went out with a hoe, and I'd poke him with that hoe, you know, and Jesus, he let that scent fly, see. Well, after I'd poked him about so many times, he didn't have any more.
Yeah.
So Jesus, I had a pair of leather gloves, and I picked the damn little fella right up, you know, and we had him around there for, 6 months, I guess, and he never scented us at all.
Yeah.
You could pick him right up and play with him just like a cat.
Yeah.
They make good pets.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'll tell you, this little filly's getting more and more sociable. Yes, I go out there and she's lying down. She'll look at me a minute and she puts those paws out there, you see, and up she comes. And she comes right over.
Jesus, one time before I was married, we was helping a neighbor do some haying.
Yeah.
And they had some hay raked up and it rained. So after the next day, after it stopped raining there, we was going to shake it out. Went down there and this fella, he was shaking out and had a little far from that, and he pitched into it, and it didn't come just good. So he gave it a heck of a yank, you know, like that. And Jesus, went up in the air, and by God, there was a skunk in it. Of course, the skunk couldn't squirt him as long as he was up in the air, you know, but just the minute that he hit the ground, oh boy, he peppered him good. He went down to dinner, and his wife wouldn't let him in the house.
Did you ever get squirted?
I never happened to get squirted, Dad. Jesus and I have killed hundreds of them.
Oh, really?
We used to trap them in the winter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you'd get, and then you'd sell the skin, the hide.
Did you cure the skins before you sold them, or?
Oh, yeah. We take the skunk and take it home and skin them and stretch it. After they got dried, well, then we'd take them and sell them.
Yeah.
Skunks and muskrats and weasels.
Yeah.
And once in a while, you'd get a coon and a fox.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about it, now, if I wanted to raise me some skunks here, of course, I couldn't keep them on my place. And then if I'd put up a fence or something to keep them on my place, somebody come in, just like you say.
Yeah.
So there's not much, you don't have much chance.
Well, I guess that fur-bearing animals aren't worth much down here anyway, are they?
Well, they're nice to look at. Why, yes, Mr. Weaver, Mac Weaver, when he come down here from Alabama, he bought furs.
Yeah.
He had a big business. 3 months in a year, he spent full time on it.
Yeah?
He had even had buyers.
Yeah?
People, you know, out at the grocery stores and all, buy stuff for him. So, I guess it depends partly on what they get to eat and what sort of cover they got.
Well, but what I meant was the warm weather, the hair don't set too good. The hair comes out and sheds.
Well, yeah, that in a warm winter, you think?
Yeah, that's the reason it's only good in the winter up north.
Yeah. Well, you got a pretty good one here, occasionally. I don't know. I'll ask Mr. Weaver when I see him.
Yeah? Ask him about that.
See what he says.
But you take it up there, you know, in the warm weather, the fur will all come out. The hair will come right out.
Yeah.
Oh.
They'll shed. Shed that winter fur.
Did you ever see them so furs together to make a fur coat or anything like that?
No.
You take it when the women operate them sewing machines, they have a three-cornered file. And they have to just keep it coming on that seam with that three-cornered file to keep the hair from going the other way. See when they sew them together.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
You see a three-cornered file, you know, it's rough and you just pull that hair out. I had a sister that worked in the factory there once.
Yeah. Oh, you know. And that burned.
Yes, sir. And they had a knitting mill in there, and they made some sleeveless sweaters for the help to wear. Well, my sister, she spoke to the superintendent and got one to send to me. Well, she sent me that sleeveless sweater, you know, and I wore it to school.
Oh.
Well, that was the first one that they'd ever seen, see, that I wore to school. You ought to see the kids poke fun at me. Why, I got a sweater with no sleeves in it.
Yeah.
Sweater with no sleeves in it, see. And, oh, yeah. Jesus, they poked all kinds of fun at me. And then 2 years' time, about everybody was wearing one.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But they made them primarily for the help in the mill. See, it kept their bodies warm and let them use their arms.
Oh.
Yeah. Mr.
Eastman, does Mr. Palmer have a whole lot of these pumps?
Yes, he's getting down on them right now. He ain't got any, I don't know, 3-4 left down there. But Jesus, the next thing you know, he'll get in 25.
Yeah.
It'll be higher, too.
Yeah.
Well, does he get, what size does he get? Just half horse?
Oh, no, half, 3/4, one horse, inch and a horse and a half.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, who would use a horse and a half?
Oh, geez, a lot of people. Some of them use a 3-horse.
Yeah.
You take these farms around here, you know, they pump quite a little water.
3-horse?
You think that's going to be all right out there?
I think so.
3-horse, would that be enough for a little irrigation, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, Mr. Eastman, if you weren't in, if you didn't have so many calls on, we could put us in a little garden up here and have a little irrigation. But now you'd have to do the irrigation. And all you got to do is just get your pool out there.
Yeah.
You get your hole, and
You know, it's a mystery to me. They bellyache so much down here about a shortage of water. See all the rainwater that goes to waste every day in the year. People could just as well put some eavesaws or gutters on their house and run that water into a cistern and have all the soft water they could use.
Yeah.
Now that's the way they do up north.
Do they?
Oh, gee, yes. Sure.
But they don't do it at all down here.
No.
I don't know a single one.
You use hard water all the while down here, you see. And up there you take that rainwater, soft. It don't take them about half of the soap to do a washing is what they do down here with this hard water.
Well, they could get a little washing machine and catch this salt water.
Yeah.
Makes a difference when you wash your hair, too.
Yeah.
Do you catch a little?
Well, we catch a little, but we don't use it, not for that. I've been thinking about building me a cistern out there out of cement blocks and catch it.
Could you do that?
Yeah, sure.
Would you build it above the ground or below?
Yeah.
Above the ground?
What would you use it for? Washing?
Washing, then.
Oh.
Sure, yeah. We take it up north. You take your sink. If they've got a well that's got a pump on, they put 3 faucets on. See, there's one for your hot, soft water, and one for your cold, soft water, and one for your drinking water. See?
Oh.
And they make them faucets up there with the 3 valves all in one faucet.
Oh.
See?
Well, they're smart, aren't they? Oh, why, you didn't, it looks like you would have imported one of them.
Well, I've been thinking of it.
And we have so much rain down here.
Huh?
We have a lot of rain as a river.
Yeah, yes. Well, that rainwater all goes to waste.
Sure.
That's right.
Sure.
How long could you keep it?
Well, geez, them cisterns up there, some of them, sometimes they clean them every year, and sometimes they don't clean them once in 10 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, down here where it gets hot all the time, it looks like you'd be growing a lot of algae and stuff in it.
Well, no, it wouldn't be growing. They might get mosquitoes started in it, but that's an easy way to get rid of mosquitoes. Put a little kerosene on the top of the water.
Yeah, and it don't hurt the water.
Well, you put the kerosene on the top and your water draws from the bottom all the time, see?
How about for drinking?
Well, for drinking water, they generally have the hard water, see?
Is that better to drink?
But they used to.